Hi, podcast listeners, and welcome to Sandbox Radio Live. This New Year's Eve Eve episode, recorded in front of a live audience at ACT Theater in Seattle on December 30th, 2018, was chock full of extra goodness, like music from Puget Soundworks and The Love Markets, writing from Scott Augustson, Elizabeth Heffron, Wayne Raleigh, and more. So sit back, relax, and welcome to Sandbox Radio Resolutions, featuring an appearance by our extra special guest, Seattle Chief of Police, Cartman Best.
Sandbox Radio, we'll stay all day. In the backyard we'll play. Jump into our sandbox.
With big castles and kings, words become things.
In the heart of beautiful downtown Rain City, Seattle. In tonight's episode, we ring in the new year with pieces from writers Scott Augustson, Elizabeth Heffron, and Wayne Raleigh. Musical guests Puget Soundworks! One of our favorite people, Classical King FM's Marta Zekan! The one and only Lisa Koch. And so much more. Plus, all your favorite Sandbox Radio players. Hello. And music from The Love Markets. And the Sandbox Radio Orchestra, both led by our maestro and composer, the fabulous Angie Louise. So, sit back and relax as we take you into the world of Sandbox Radio Live.
Is everybody here? Can we get this meeting started?
Yeah, I hope you guys don't mind if I keep shaving during the meeting. I gotta stay on top of things.
FYI, Jim, we're not all guys. Right, Raya?
Right!
Hey, Alan, there's room down at the end of this table. Take a seat.
If it's cool, I'll just stand during this meeting.
Has anybody seen Bob?
Bob?
Yeah, the brainy scientist that founded this company.
Is he back from Midway yet?
Midway Atoll? What the hell's he doing there?
Oh, he texted last night. He said he'd be here.
He flies out to a tiny island in the middle of the Pacific right as our products are crashing and burning, and we're heading into a financial meltdown? That's a pussy thing to do.
All right, time out.
We don't need to do this.
That was a pussy thing to do?
We don't need to do this now, Beth.
A pussy thing, Jeb? Sing it, sister.
It's my bad, but...
As your HR director, I need to point out that we agreed we will no longer put down people or things we don't like using derogatory terms for the female anatomy.
Or female anything, or derogatory anything.
We added that to the corporate handbook. That was our resolution.
Jesus, Beth, look around you. Jim can't stop shaving. Alan can't sit down. We can't even afford beta tests, so we test things on ourselves.
And poorly.
We've got bigger problems than our corporate culture.
Ouch, 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 ouch! Oh, pant squeeze. Oh, God, it's growing again.
Hey, rip them if you have to, pal.
Oh, but they're my last pair of khakis.
Here.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly, we are in the middle of a crisis.
There are customers that are ready to kill us.
Well, we did sell them untested genetic therapies.
What are you talking about? I tested the full bush beard treatment myself.
Yeah, and you may be shaving your face 24/7 for the rest of your life.
And Alan tested the member elongation formula.
Now please, can we just not talk about it?
I would just propose that if someone like Jeb continues to use derogatory terms like pussy, willy-nilly...
Well, you know as well as I do that Bob leaving town was a bogus move.
Yeah, he's the one guy who's smart enough to engineer a stop button for this situation.
But what made his leaving pussy like, Jeb? What part of the pussy were you referring to?
Jesus!
Does his absence strike you as labial in nature?
Labial? What the hell is that?
Are you saying it was a fleshy and pink thing for him to do?
Well, maybe a little stretchy and wrinkly, too.
All I'm saying is that if we don't come up with a way to turn off the genetic changes we put into action with these products, we're all toast!
Jeb's right. This was definitely not the time for Bob to sneak off to Midway for some secret experiment he's not willing to disclose to the rest of the group.
What was that, Jim?
Oh, shoot.
What kind of secret experiment?
Is he, like, starting a new unregulated startup inside our collapsing unregulated startup?
Oops, yeah, I've said too much. He swore me to secrecy.
Macho genetics, enhancing your maleness on a shoestring. Uh-huh. Yeah, just one moment. Well, it's Sandra with Will Buy Anything Venture Capital Group. She's ready to speakerphone into the meeting.
But Bob's not here yet.
She's our only big investor.
What are we going to tell her about all the order cancellations? And the lawsuits.
And my face. And Alan's third leg.
Fucking Bob!
We'd better not hold her off any longer. Put her on the speaker, Raya.
Okay. Hi, Sandra. I'm putting you on speaker now.
Hello, darlings. How's drizzly Seattle?
It's good, Sandra.
It's bushy.
And tight.
Where are you? At the zoo?
Such mirth. No, darlings. I decided to zip out on a tiny vacay to a quaint archipelago with a low tax base. All right, are we ready to start?
Bob's not here yet.
Oh, that's him. He's in the elevator.
Well, he'll catch up, I'm sure. We should begin now. Well, shower me with numbers, darlings.
Yeah, look, Sandra, just a heads up. Based on our current projections, this won't be a golden shower.
Golden shower? Sam,
just
really?
Hit me with your best shot.
Alan, do you want to do the honors, since you're standing?
Thanks, Sam. So, as you know, Sandra, Macho Genetics has been concentrating our energies on targeting high-value male anatomy augmentation using genetic engineering. We've kept costs low by flying underneath most product testing regulations.
And testing it on ourselves.
Luckily, it's the Wild West in this field, so the FDA, or any regulatory body, hasn't quite caught up yet.
Well, all of this sounds highly lucrative, darlings. So what seems to be the problem?
The problem is that our products work too well.
I don't understand.
Meaning they don't stop working. They continue to work no matter what you do.
Yeah, hi, Sandra. This is Jim. My beard is growing at a rate of 1 millimeter per minute.
How fascinating, dear. I'll bet you look rugged and handsome.
No, I don't look rugged and handsome. If I don't shave every 3 hours, I look like Frederick Douglass.
And don't get Alan started.
My last pair of pants, Sandra. I no longer fit into my last pair of pants.
Well, I imagine all the women are just fawning all over you, dear. Congratulations.
No, they're not fawning, Sandra. This is a biological disaster. We are freaks!
You are stars, darlings. It's all how we package it. And we can always add one of those cute little warnings.
Where the hell is Bob?
Bob? Is that you? Come in!
What the heck? Somebody open the door! Oh, Bob!
What the hell, man?
What happened to you?
Is that Bob?
Yeah, it's Bob, all right.
Hello, Bob, darling.
He looks stricken.
His skin is almost greenish.
And his belly is hugely distended.
And he's short of breath.
Well, that will stop eventually. I told him not to fly in his condition all the way back from the age-old.
Wait, Sandra, are you there too, working on the secret project?
Oh, don't be so mysterious, darling. Of course I am. We investors must stay out in front of things. How else are we to lean in?
Well, we need Bob back to his old self so he can reverse engineer our macho products ASAP.
Watch out! He's swaying left and right!
Bob, are you okay? What's going on?
What?
Big mistake!
Quick! He wants a steak!
No, I'll give him a steak.
No, that's not what he said. Listen.
Big mistake. Big mistake.
What's a big mistake?
Oh, darlings, now don't you listen to Bob right now. He's in a very excitable condition, but luckily it's only temporary.
What's she talking about?
Yeah, Jim, what's going on?
I don't want to affect my stock options.
Jim, damn your non-disclosure agreement. Tell us what's wrong with Bob.
All right. Hey, Bob went to Midway to study the genetics of that 67-year-old albatross who just gave birth. The plan was to do something mankind has never been able to do. Have a baby.
Well, what are you talking about? Mankind's been able to do that forever.
No, Jeb. Mankind has never been able to do that. Only womankind can.
That's what drives them crazy, darlings. They get so jealous when there's something they can't do or control. It's marvelous. There's money in this, Munchkins. I say we give it to them and make them pay.
Sandra, that's like beyond Machiavellian.
He's starting to shake. Bob, what's happening?
If I didn't know better.
Oh, brother, I'm afraid that Bob figured out how to CRISPR an albatross uterus, and he used it on himself!
What?
What's happening?
Oh, he's taking off his shirt and pants!
Bob, what are you doing?
Ooh, hand me his pants! Maybe I could use them!
He's making a nest in the corner out of graph paper!
Wait, he's bobbing up and down on it.
Oh, darlings, pull out your phones and document this moment. What's happening now?
Oh, my God. His skin is peeling off.
It's flaking off in big sheets.
Jesus.
Bob, come back, man.
Oh, what are those things under his skin?
Look, he's got feathers.
He's squatting over his nest.
He looks like he's constipated. What's coming out of his bum?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What's happening, darlings?
He's laying a huge ass egg.
Hurts. Take it down a notch, Bob. It's just birth. Don't be such a pussy. Hey.
Not cool, Beth.
Speak to me, darlings. Did he finally lay it?
He did indeed.
Oh, it's quite a beautiful egg. Blue and mottled with specks of orange.
What's he doing now?
He's caressing it softly.
He's covering it with kisses.
Now he's climbing on top of it.
My egg.
He must wait for it to hatch.
Bob! Jesus, man!
I'm sending the press over right now.
No!
Somebody bar the door.
Shut off the lights!
Sam?
This insanity stops now!
How will it ever stop when there's money to be made?
What is being said, darlings?
Sandra? We'll get back to you.
Wait, what?
Bob?
I gave birth.
Yeah, you did, man.
I laid an egg.
Yes, you did. And now you have to sit on it and wait for it to hatch.
I feel quite loving and generous and towards it, but also a little afraid. What if it's a monster?
Well, that's on you. Mothers are always blamed for what comes out of them.
Meanwhile, the rest of us are going to lunch.
Good idea.
But wait, that's not fair. I can't go to lunch. I have to stay on this egg.
Yes, you're right. That's not fair.
But you wanted it all, so now you got it all.
Big mistake.
Listen, yeah, Bob, while you're sitting there, you know, on your egg, I'll be thinking about how we can stop all this stuff.
Put the genie back in the bottle.
Okay.
If it's possible, which it's probably not.
Okay.
Okay, he says.
Bring me back a vegan BLT on seed bread.
You got it.
Wait. Do you guys hear something?
What was that?
Son of a bitch.
Oh.
We are so screwed.
The Unicorn in the Garden by James Thurber.
Once upon a sunny morning, a woman who sat in a breakfast nook looked up from her scrambled eggs to see a white unicorn with a golden horn quietly cropping the roses in the garden. She went up to the bedroom where her husband was still asleep.
Honey! Honey! There's a unicorn in the garden. Eating roses!
He opened one unfriendly eye and looked at her.
The unicorn is a mythical beast,
he said, and turned his back on her.
So the woman went back downstairs and out into the garden.
The unicorn was still there, and now he was browsing among the tulips.
Here, unicorn,
she said, and pulled up a lily and gave it to him. The unicorn ate it gravely. With a high heart,
because there was a unicorn in her garden,
the woman ran upstairs and roused her husband again.
The unicorn ate a lily,
she said.
Her husband sat up in bed and looked at her coldly. You are a booby,
he said.
And I am going to have you put in the booby hatch.
We'll see about that.
The woman, who had never liked the words booby and booby hatch, liked them even less on a shining morning when there was a unicorn in the garden.
He has a golden horn in the middle of his forehead,
she said.
And she went back to the garden to watch the unicorn. But the unicorn had gone away.
So the woman sat down among the roses and went to sleep. As soon as she had gone out of the house,
her husband telephoned the police, and he telephoned a psychiatrist.
He told them
to hurry to his house and bring a straitjacket.
When the police and the psychiatrist arrived, the husband said,
"My wife saw a unicorn this morning."
The cop looked at the psychiatrist.
When the psychiatrist looked at the cop,
she told me it ate a lily.
The psychiatrist looked at the cop.
And the cop looked at the psychiatrist.
She told me it had a golden horn in the middle of its forehead.
At a signal from the psychiatrist, the cop seized the husband.
All right.
Hey, what's going on?
Quietly.
And put him in a straitjacket.
Hey, now, look.
Behind your back, sir.
Just as the wife came back into the house.
Did you tell your husband you saw a unicorn?
Asked the cop.
Of course not,
said the woman.
The unicorn is a mythical beast.
That's all I wanted to know,
said the psychiatrist.
Take him away. I'm sorry, ma'am, but your husband is as crazy as a jaybird.
So they took him away, cursing and struggling, and shut him up in an institution. The woman lived happily ever after.
Moral: don't count your boobies until they are hatched.
Give me a kiss to build a dream on, and my imagination will thrive upon that kiss. Sweetheart, I ask no more than this, a kiss to build a dream on. Give me a kiss before you leave me, and my imagination will feed my hungry heart. Leave me one thing before we part, a kiss to build a dream on. Making believe they're true. Oh, give me your lips for just a moment, and my imagination will make that moment live. Give me what you alone can give, a kiss to build a dream on. Thank you.
Dave Marriott on the bone and Rob Whitmer on the clarinet.
My rights.
Rights? Did someone call for a lawyer?
It's time for everyone's favorite family show.
My father's a lawyer!
You're out of order, Mr. Attorney.
These two better start cross-examining their oatmeal.
Okay, but Biff called me a duty face.
Are you a duty face, Muffin?
No.
Well, I'm a lawyer, so I know that what your brother did is called slander. Now you have cause to sue him.
Don't I have the right to my opinion?
Ooh. Of course. And you have the right to state that opinion in public. But your statement was false and could be harmful to Muffin's reputation. Plus, you aggravated it by calling her stupid. Add assault when you pushed her and theft for stolen juice. Biff, she's got you dead to rights as a lawyer.
Here he goes again.
I can protect your rights. Yay. But what if I wasn't around? Who's always there to help you?
Mother?
Don't be silly. Mothers can't be lawyers.
What your sexist father means is that there's an organization whose mission it is to protect and preserve the civil rights of all Americans, according to the Bill of Rights and the Constitution of the United States. It's the ACLU. Oh. The American Civil Liberties Union.
Gee, Mother's pretty smart, and she isn't even a lawyer.
Yeah, not a lawyer. That's because I was working to put your father through law school. You know, I could have been a lawyer if it hadn't been for you kids.
Next week when Mother's out of town.
The network's calling it a little break.
And we hear Biff say...
What does ex parte mean?
Who cares?
That's next time on...
My father's a lawyer!
The American Civil Liberties Union, working to defend and preserve the individual rights and liberties guaranteed by the Constitution and laws of the United States for almost 100 years. Visit aclu.org and give generously, or better yet, become a member today, because freedom can't fight for itself.
Time will say nothing but, I told you so. Time only knows the price we have to pay. If I could tell you, I would let you know. If we should weep when clowns put on their show, if we should stumble when musicians play, time will say nothing but, I told you so. There are no fortunes to be told, although because I love you more than I can say, if I could tell you, I would let you know. The winds must come from somewhere when they blow, There must be reasons why the leaves decay. Time will say nothing, but I told you so. Perhaps the roses really want to grow. The vision seriously intends to stay. If I could tell you, I would let you know. Suppose the lions all get up and go, and all the brooks and soldiers run away. Will time say nothing, but I told you so? If I could tell you, I would let you know.
We're going to take you back a week to Christmas, and we're going to sing O Holy Night, featuring Emily Stewart, a fantastic soprano on loan from Seattle Opera. Song for months, so we're going to do it anyway. And so here is O Holy Night for choir without soprano.
Was born. You're listening to Sandbox Radio. Subscribe to this podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcatcher so you never miss an episode. If you're in the Seattle area, please join us on April 22nd for our big fundraising event, Sandbox Radio in Concert, an evening full of the best of Sandbox Radio music over the years, featuring appearances by Angie Louise, the drunken tenor Rob McPherson, Lisa Koch, the Sirens of Swing, Sarah Porkalob, and much more. Sign up at sandboxradio.org and join our mailing list to make sure you get your invitation. Now back to resolutions and a poem by A.A. Milne.
My loving people, I would like to. King John was not a good man. He had his little ways. And sometimes no one spoke to him for days and days and days. And men who came across him when walking in the town gave him a supercilious stare or passed with noses in the air. And bad King John stood dumbly there, blushing beneath his crown.
King John was not a good man.
King John sucks.
Hey!
And no good friends had he. He stayed in every afternoon, but no one came to tea.
And round about December, the cards upon his shelf, which wished him lots of Christmas cheer and fortune in the coming year, were never from his near and dear, but only from himself.
King John was not a good man. Had his hopes and fears. They'd given him no presents now for years.
And years.
And years.
But every year at Christmas, while minstrels stood about, collecting tributes from the young for all the songs they might have sung, he stole away upstairs and hung a hopeful stocking out.
So many stairs in this castle. So cold.
King John was not a good man. He lived his life aloof. Alone he thought a message out while climbing upon the roof. He wrote it down and propped it against the chimney stack.
To all and sundry, near and far, F. Christmas in particular.
And signed it not Johannes R., but very humbly,
Jack. I want some crackers. And I want some candy. I think a box of chocolates would come in handy. I don't mind oranges. I do like nuts. And I should like a pocket knife that really cuts. And oh, Father Christmas, if you love me at all, bring me a big red India rubber ball.
King John was not a good man.
All right, already!
He wrote this message out and got him to his room again, descending by the spout. And all that night he lay there, a prey to hopes and fears.
I think that's him coming now.
Anxiety bedewed his brow.
He'll bring one present anyhow, the first I've had for years. Ooh. Forget about the crackers and forget about the candy. I'm sure a box of chocolates would never come in handy. I don't like oranges. I don't want nuts. And I have got a pocket knife that almost cuts. But oh, Father Christmas, if you love me at all, bring me a big red India rubber ball.
King John was not a good man. Next morning when the sun rose up to tell a waiting world that Christmas had begun. And people seized their stockings and opened them with glee. And crackers, toys, and games appeared, and lips with sticky sweets were smeared.
King John said grimly, "As I feared, nothing again for me. I did want crackers, and I did want candy. I know a box of chocolates would come in handy. I do love oranges, and I did want nuts. I haven't got a pocket knife, not one that cuts. And oh, if Father Christmas had loved me at all, he would have brought me a big red India rubber ball."
King John stood by the window and frowned to see below the happy bands of boys and girls all playing in the snow. A while he stood there watching and envying them all. When through the window big and red there hurtled by his royal head and bounced and fell upon the bed an India rubber ball.
Oh, no. Sorry about that, Your Majesty.
It's all right. Here you go, children.
I love you, King John. Oh.
We love you. Yay.
Oh, Father Christmas, my blessings on you for bringing me a big red India rubber ball.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the Love Markets.
Oh, Tannenbaum, Detroit, see.
get yourself all sticky and your needle so fat. Well, why you got to be so evergreen like that? With your bright, bright
star
and your leaves so
fine.
I'm gonna get you a tree, I'm gonna make you mine. Get your ass all tinsel in my house so small. It's a motherfucking cabaret tree, y'all. Oh, of the German lyrics as found on the interweb. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, your dress wants to teach me something. Your hope and durability provide comfort and strength at any time. How often has not at Christmas time a tree like you given me such joy? Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, how loyal are your leaves / needles. No more, you're going out on the street like a used up whore. The same cold fate as the tree before, but you're a Tannenbaum girl and you know the score. So let's seize the day while you still look boss before you start to
shit
and I get real
cross.
I can turn you on, little Christmas tree.
Episode is brought to you in part by Birthplace of Sandbox Radio Live, West of Lenin, the theater gallery and studio space located in heart of Fremont, just a 5-minute walk west from statue of me, Vladimir Ilyich Lenin. West of Lenin was created to offer a venue for Seattle's most adventurous artists, as well as the reestablishment of a permanent live performance venue in Fremont, the center of universe. Find venue and ticket information at westoflenin.com.
Sandbox Radio. Box Reader.
Good evening, and welcome once again to Sandbox Radio's Vermin Notes,
where we pause in our busy day and look around at the filthy world we live in.
Today we'll be discussing the clothes moth.
Tiniola biseliella.
Which is Latin for the insect that wants to see you naked.
Thanks to research on these little critters, we now know that cashmere tastes like medium rare roast beef. And polycotton blends are a dead ringer for sushi.
I tried a blind taste test and could not tell the difference between a spicy tuna roll and a pair of golf pants.
In Victorian England, a piece of clothing reduced to tatters by moths was called poor folks' lace.
The use of cedar to repel moths is a myth started by cedar-loving moths.
Suckers.
The producer of this program wanted me to make a rude double entendre about mothballs. I refused.
Yeah, she's uptight.
Instead of complaining that clothes moths are ruining your finest couture, why not be thankful that they don't eat your skin?
Clarice!
In an act of irresponsible journalism, we're going to transition from talking about clothes moths to moths in general without telling you.
Good thinking. It must be snug and cozy inside of a moth's cocoon. I'd like it in there.
Moths go toward the light out of a deep sense of nostalgia for when things were better and brighter.
A moth's antenna can pick up a bluegrass AM radio station from hundreds of miles away.
The moth is the dowdy younger sister of the butterfly.
A moth is just a small featherless bird.
A moth is more of an idea than an actual animal.
A moth is like an angel, a not very important angel.
A moth's wings are coated with a powdery substance. This powder is called poor folks' cocaine.
In some parts of the world, moths are called the devil's castanets, but not here. Here we just call them moths.
This has been Sandbox Radio's Vermin Notes.
Until next time, remember, it's a filthy world.
The Rabbits Who Caused All the Trouble by James Thurber.
Within the memory of the youngest child, there was a family of rabbits who lived near a pack of wolves. The wolves announced
that they did not like the way the rabbits were living.
I hate those stupid rabbits.
The wolves were crazy about the way they themselves were living because it was the only way to live. One night, several of the wolves were killed in an earthquake. And this was blamed on the rabbits.
For it is well known that rabbits pound the ground with their hind legs and cause earthquakes.
Yeah, they do.
On another night, one of the other wolves was killed by a bolt of lightning. This, of course, was also blamed on the rabbits.
For it is well known that lettuce eaters cause lightning.
Yeah, that's right. They cause lightning. Yeah, they do that.
It's a lettuce. The rabbits.
The wolves threatened to civilize the rabbits if they didn't behave. And so the rabbits made a plan to run away to a desert island. But all the other animals, who all lived at a great distance, shamed them.
You must stay where you are and be brave, caw,
said the hen.
If the wolves attack you, we will come to your aid, in all probability,
said the horse.
This is no world for escapists.
That was obviously a duck.
Oh.
So the rabbits continued to live near the wolves.
Good choice.
One day, there was a terrible flood, which drowned a great many wolves. This was, of course, blamed on the rabbits.
For it is well known that carrot nibblers with long ears cause floods.
Yeah, they do it.
The wolves descended upon the rabbits.
For their own good.
And imprisoned them all in a dark cave.
For their own protection.
When nothing was heard about the rabbits for some weeks, all the other animals demanded to know...
What happened to them?
The wolves replied...
That the rabbits had been eaten. And since they had been eaten, the affair was a purely... internal matter.
So internal, like in my belly.
But the other animals warned.
They might possibly unite against the wolves
unless some reason was given for the destruction of the rabbits.
What's the reason?
So, the wolves gave them one.
They were trying to escape!
And, as you know, this world is no world for escapists.
Rabbits.
Moral, run. Don't walk to the nearest desert island.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a real treat for you. Lisa Cope. Thank you.
Some of you may know that I was in a sketch comedy duo called Dos Fallopia. For 28 years, I worked with a woman named Peggy Platt, and we had lots of fun. We did a Christmas show called Ham for the Holidays, and we were here for 5 years at ACT and had a lovely time. In fact, we did 17 hams. And Peg sadly passed in April of this year. And so we're missing her pretty hard. And I'm missing her a lot because, by God, that was an old ball and chain for 28 years. Now, she was my twin sister of a different cul-de-sac. And I miss her terribly. So I thought what I would do tonight in honor of Peg, and we're coming up to a brand new year, so I'm going to do Peggy's Greatest Hits. We got a scary little trailer, double wide and painted brown. We've been living in Renton ever since the truck broke down. We're out in Renton. They say we don't got class. Yeah, we're out in Renton. Bellevue can kiss my ass. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be drag queens. Don't let them dress Barbies, wear lots of blush. Let them be doctors and lawyers and such. Scratching and clacking with the thimbles on, ringing in the suds till the morning dawn. Sparks shooting out from the devil's board. Knuckles were bleeding, but you trust the Lord. You make my pants pound. I must admit, there's tingling in my pelvis and there's throbbing in my heart. Oh Lord, my skin has fallen and it can't get up. My skin has fallen and it can't get up. My knees are sagging and my hips are spreading the news. Things are looking down. I got those gravity balloons. The people on the bus don't binge and purge, binge and purge, binge and purge. The people on the bus don't binge and purge, they eat three average meals. Hartwood Mac. Bought an ice cream and I sucked it down. My ass looks bigger when I turn around. And I saw my reflection in the changing room stall, cause the mudslides had inbound. Sing out the sister's song. Stand up and sing along. Simple and shrill, self-important and long. Shout out our savage song, aye! Shout out our savage song, aye! Shout out our savage song! And now a song of women, about women, for women. It is called A Womanly Song. First sung by Compost Morning Dew and Dolphin Free Tuna Woman. My vulva is singing and my ovaries dancing. My ears, they are ringing with the sound of my uterus laughing. Ha, 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 ha. My cheeks, they are glowing. My fluids are flowing. And my love bud is growing quite large. My vulva is singing a womanly song. Surly bitches.
My breasts are out of control. My breasts are hanging low. My breasts have a life of their own. My breasts are gonna
singing, back up for Jesus, he always takes the lead. Back up for Jesus, he gives us what we need. He is our Lord, the King of Kings, Christ that boy can really sing. Back up for Jesus, he always takes the lead. We're singing, back up for Jesus, he always takes the Shall we have her do one little more. So, this is, if you're talking about resolutions, I think this might be a good one to live in the moment. May I suggest to you, may I suggest this is the best part of your life? May I suggest, this time is blessed for you. This time is blessed and almost shining blind and bright. Just turn your head and you'll begin to see the thousand reasons that were just beyond your sight. The reasons why I suggest to you, why I suggest this is the best part of your life. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. Anything to myself, what a wonderful world. There is a hope that's been expressed in you, the hope of seven generations, maybe more. This is the faith that they invest in you, is that you'll do one better than was done before. Inside you know, inside you'll understand, inside you know it's yours to finally set right. May I suggest to you, may I suggest this is the best part of your life. When the sharpest word's gonna cut me down, gonna send a flood, gonna drown them out. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. Look out, here I come, and I'm marching out to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Oh, sing with me. This is a song. Comes from the west to you, comes from the west, comes from the slowly setting sun. With a request, with a request of you, to see how very short the endless days will run. And when they're gone, and when the dark descends, oh, we'd give anything for one more hour of life. May I suggest to you, may I suggest this is the best part of your life.
May I suggest this is the best part of your life?
Lisa Cope.
Sandbox Radio without the generous financial support of you, our listeners and our audience members. You can become a sustaining donor of Sandbox Radio by signing up to make a monthly contribution through Patreon. You can be a patron for as little as $5 a month. Patrons receive exclusive access to digital content, preferred seating at live shows, and more. Just go to patreon.com/sandboxradio. That's Patreon, spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And you can become a patron right now, today. Thanks so much for the life support.
This is Jack. Yeah, what can I do for you, Fred?
I got a meeting starting here, like now.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Fred, honestly, let me stop you right there. I don't know if you're ready. Well, we're gonna swing. Yes, Fred, on the swings. That is where you swing, see?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Can you pump?
Jack, we're getting creamed out there.
Yeah, just a second, man. Yes, Fred, pump. Can you propel the swing back and forth under your own power without having to be pushed by a second party? Well, don't mess with me, Fred. You understand what I mean. Okay, look, Fred, I have to go. You come around lunch, recess, we'll give you a go. But listen to me, Fred. I don't want to see you eating your boogers. Because we're not doing that anymore. Okay? All right. We're 8 now. Okay, see you then. Fred still eats his boogers.
Gross.
What's up?
Well, we're getting cremated out there, Jack. They got ghost runners on every base. They keep changing where second is. One minute it's the garage door, the next minute it's the side hedge. It's like they're just making it up as they go along.
They're the big kids, Brad. It's important we give them the impression that we are happy they're even letting us play.
I'm telling you, Steven. I'm sorry, that sounds extreme.
I'm telling you. Ask Jack.
Jack, I'm sorry, I missed last week. Is it true we aren't eating boogers anymore?
It's true, we're not.
That sounds extreme.
Sit down, gentlemen.
So what are we supposed to do with them?
Well, we don't know yet. Just for now, leave them in there.
No, we're looking into it. I'm talking to an 11-year-old who says that you can flick them on people.
Who the hell here has got that kind of hand-eye coordination?
Okay, gentlemen, enough. We are not here today to discuss old business.
What are we here to discuss, Jack?
You know I'm scheduled to smash an anthill today.
I know.
I've got a Lunchable at 3.
I know, fellas. Your time is valuable. I understand that. But I have something very important I need to discuss with you. I've been thinking about it since, like, this morning.
Well, I'm sorry, wasn't this morning like a bazillion years ago?
I know. Yes, it was. And that's why I asked you guys to come over today. I've been thinking about this, and I want to discuss the possibility of us liking girls.
Gay! That's gay. You are gay. You are a gay person for saying that.
I don't think you're using that term correctly, Steve.
Well, yes, I am. Do you even know what gay means? It means I'm uncomfortable. That I'm feeling discomfort. Anything that takes me out of my immediate comfort zone is a gay thing. A thing that is gay.
No, no, that's not right.
What, David?
What?
Well, back me up on this.
I'm sorry, I'm kind of in the weeds here.
Gentlemen, please. I think we should stick to the issue on the table, namely Jack's proposal that, what I'm hearing you say, Jack, is that we somehow stop hating girls and begin, what? Liking them?
Yes, Brad. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know if I'm gay, but I am definitely uncomfortable with this, and I'll tell you why. Number one, there's the whole size thing. I mean, they're just bigger than we are. Yeah. That? Physically taller, and that's new. Okay, that's a recent thing, and it frightens me. And number two, they seem to be, what's the word, smarter than we are. More advanced somehow.
Now, not to mention the whole cootie issue.
No. That is unsubstantiated.
Oh, says who, Jack? Unsubstantiated? Says who? Where is this coming from?
Look, I know this is new territory for all of us, but David, look at it this way, okay? Your mommy. You know your mommy?
Yes, Jack, I know my mommy.
Okay, well, your mommy is a girl, right?
I don't know that.
Well, trust me, she is.
It's true, David. Her boobies make her a girl.
So gay.
What's your point, Jack?
Look, my point is that I just have this feeling that they may have something to offer us.
Oh, no. I don't see...
I think that we ought to just hear them out.
Hear them out?
They've sent representatives. Two representatives to discuss what would be involved. Yes?
They're here, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Lois.
Yeah, I don't know. I am very uncomfortable with this.
What? Are we going to kiss them? On the mouth? Is that... What exactly do you think is going to happen?
Well, guys, come on. We can do this. I believe in Jack. This is the guy who taught us how to make a shadow on the ceiling that looks like a butt, using only a flashlight and our knuckles. Come on.
Yeah, well,
that was cool.
We run this block, and we have all day. We can do this. This is easy. Game face. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Lois, could you send in the girls?
Girls, yes. Please, the girls.
Right away, sir.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon, ladies. Welcome. Can I get you some Legos or anything?
Thank you, no. My name is Ashley, with an EY. My mommy's a police officer, and I'm 9. This is my associate, Bethany.
I can do short division.
Well, please sit down.
Hey! Knock it off! He pulled my hair.
Wasn't me.
Very good. Have a nice day, gentlemen.
No, wait. Hold on. Steven, please.
What?
Don't pull her hair.
Don't pull her hair? I'm confused.
Please, let's not get off on the wrong foot here. That won't happen again, will it? Please, don't go. We would like to talk.
Fine. Let's get started. We understand you are interested in liking us.
We are interested in exploring that possibility, yes?
Excellent. Bethany, the contract, please.
I know how to type.
Thank you.
And I speak French.
What exactly are you looking for?
Your complete and undivided attention.
Well, you've got it.
Oh, yes. Well, of course I do. No, I mean your complete and undivided attention until the end of time.
Excuse me?
In accordance with the terms of this agreement, we will be occupying your every thought, motivation, and decision-making process from the moment you wake up in the morning until the moment you fall asleep at night, at which point we will play a major role in 9 out of 10 of your dreams. We do allow one wildcard dream, usually a sports dream or flying dream of some type. That is completely up to you, of course. But everything else becomes, for all intents and purposes, about us.
Love.
Ooh, right. Until, of course, you fall in love with one of us, then the number of dreams about us increases to 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not falling in love with anybody.
Right. Bethany, am I missing anything?
Stop doing stupid stuff.
Right. You will have to stop doing stupid stuff, like playing Star Wars and making laser beam noises with your mouths.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm very sorry. I'm not comfortable with this.
Okay, so what if I don't even care? I mean, like, what if I don't even care about playing Star Wars? What if I don't even care if I think about you or not? Like, if I say, like, I don't even care.
I'm afraid that won't be possible.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I was just wondering, and I'm thinking out loud here at this point, but it seems like, I mean, so what's in it for us, exactly?
Knowledge, mostly.
Well, see, we know everything already.
Right. So let me ask you a question, then. Do you ride the school bus?
Yeah.
Where do you get off?
I get off in front of my house.
You do?
Yeah.
You get off in front of your house?
Yeah.
You get off in front of your house?
Yeah. What?
Yes.
Dude, you get off in front of your house?
What?
I mean the bus. What?
Dude gets off in front of his house.
Wait a minute. Am I crazy? Or did you just get Brad to admit in front of all of us that he masturbates in public outside of his own house?
Yep.
And you can teach us stuff like that?
That was a parlor trick.
Well, oh, yeah? Well, like, you're so smart. Like, what else? What else do you know?
We know where babies come from.
Whoa. Yeah? So what? Everybody knows where babies come from. They come from the garden with the morning dew.
Actually, no.
Studies have shown that to be a misconception.
Jack, I'm very uncomfortable with this.
Gay. Steven! I meant get off the bus. I just want everybody to know that I meant get off the bus.
I'm sorry. All right, listen. Yeah. Ladies, I think we are going to need some time to think. This is a lot to consider. And wow, we really do appreciate you coming by.
Oh, yes. And, of course, there is the possibility, no guarantees, of course, but if you play your cards right, there is the possibility that someday you might possibly be able to see one of us without a shirt on.
You mean, like in front of us? Like, right there in person? Or, like, what?
No guarantees, but possibly.
Steven? Jack? David? Brad?
Yes, well, gentlemen, thank you for your time. We will definitely be in touch.
I can write cursive.
Jack, say, if it's all the same to you, I think I'm going to skip the anthill today.
Oh, yeah, David, that's okay. That'll be fine. Take the rest of the day off.
Good thing we stopped eating our boogers, huh?
Yeah, great timing on that.
I have to go home and comb my hair and lose some weight.
Jack, how long do you think it'll be before we, you know, actually get to see him without shirts on?
I don't know, Brad. I wish I could tell you, but I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't even care.
Yeah, me either. I don't care either.
Tonight's episode, the Sandbox Radio players were...
Eric Ray Anderson.
Lisa Vertel.
Sarah Harlett.
David Gehrman.
Bob Williams.
Pamela Reed.
Rachel Geyer-Mafune.
Dan Tierney.
Karen Scrindy. Jason
Marr. Marta Zekan.
And Richard Zyman.
And I'm your host for Sandbox Radio, Leslie Long. Oh, hi, Lisa Koch.
And Lisa Koch.
Special guest, Puget Sound Works! Chief of Seattle Police, Carmen Best! And the Love Market!
Tonight, the Sandbox Radio Orchestra was Troy Lund on drums, Mike Katz on the bass, Dave Marion on trombone, Rob Whitmer accordion clarinet, and on the keys our maestro and composer, Angie Louise.
Resolutions was written by W.H. Auden, Scott Augustin, Elizabeth Heffron, A.A. Milne, Peggy Platt, James Thurber, and Wayne Raleigh. Original music was composed by Jose Juicy Gonzalez and Angie Louise. A Kiss to Build a Dream On was written by Bert Kalmar, Harry Ruby, and Oscar Hammerstein. Big thanks to Axe Theater for hosting. We love you guys! Katie Burnett, Amelia Peacock, and the amazing staff and crew here in the gorgeous Falls Theater. Our stage managers tonight were Susie Butler, Shigeko Kalis-Nakano, and Anna Rasmus-Peterson. And the show was mixed by Max Langley and recorded by Brian Moynihan. So one final little thing we want you to do with us. It always helps round out our year and send us into the next one. Sing along with us on this last song, will ya? You know the tune.
Shall all the praise I sing for God and heaven on earth abide? Shall all
Resolutions was recorded in front of a live audience at ACT Theater in Seattle on December 30th, 2018. The live show was sound engineered by Max Langley, recorded by Brian Moynihan, and this podcast was mixed by Dave Pascal. O Holy Night for Choir and No Soloist was written by Scott Warrender. And Little Tree by E.E. Cummings was set to music by Puget Sound Works conductor and artistic director Eric Lane Barnes. The 2018 season of Sandbox Radio is made possible in part by 4Culture. Like what you hear? Subscribe to the podcast of our show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcatcher. And stream episodes, find artist credits, live show information, and learn how to become a sustaining donor of Sandbox Radio at sandboxradio.org. I'm your host for Sandbox Radio, Leslie Law. And on behalf of co-producer Richard Ziman and all of us here at Sandbox Radio, thanks for listening.